Welcome to the Video Game Podcast from Cold Omaha. I'm Henry Bell, and joining me in studio today are Tom Schreier, John Carson, and Max Hamilton. There's been a fair amount of news this week, so let's get things started right away with the new Destiny expansion, The Taken King. John, I know you've played the most out of this out of anybody, so you want to give us kind of the rundown on what we're looking at here?
Yeah, so Taken King came out this week. It's the first major expansion for Destiny. They've had two smaller ones before, but they're not really...
What's the terminology they're using? I keep getting it mixed up.
So they're calling it year two for Destiny. So last year's year one, and then they had the two expansions. Now that it's been a year,
so are we being promised now definitely annual full expansions then this?
It's either that or brand new releases. I think going like the template that they wanted to do was game, mini expansions, big expansion the next year, and then probably, I haven't heard of any new expansions for The Taken King, but there'll probably be something like that. And then,
it's so confusing using expansion for everything.
And then like a Destiny 2.
Well, okay. It's a 10-year plan, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And to speak to the 10-year plan, if you guys recall the Marty O'Donnell court case, Bungie and Activision had to release some documents, and it did outline their plan for Destiny. And basically, the code name was Comet for Taken King. So it went full release, Comet 1, second release, Comet 2, third release, Comet, and then maybe a fourth. So basically, yeah, they're just going to dice it up.
So code name Comet, but yeah. So Taken King actually has a lot of great quality of life improvements for Destiny.
Sure.
Some of the big things that people complained about with Destiny, myself included, were there wasn't really a story. Or if there was, you had to dig a little bit too deep to find it.
My favorite line, I would tell, or what is it? It's, there's no time to explain why there's no time to explain.
Yep, and that's the story behind Destiny Year One. But in the last couple days, like, I pre-purchased The Taken King, and that gave me the previous expansion, so I've been playing through that. And it seemed like they moved a lot of that new stuff into that. Or unless they were like playing around with that concept with those expansions, just giving you more story up front, more of the characters who are giving you the quests, making them more relatable and actually give them a direction.
More than just kind of like vendors, which is kind of my experience with most NPCs.
Yeah, and those quest givers are vendors as well, so you'd see them a lot, and they'd say like a couple words to you, but you never really got like who they were, what their motivations were, where they fit in their society.
Sure.
But now... So in The Taken King, there's a guy named Oryx, the Taken King. He is coming to kill you, I guess, because you killed his son, Crota, in one of the previous expansions. He's bringing this giant army of...
Sorry, when you say you, do you mean, like, every individual player, or do you mean, like, you as in, like, your group?
Both.
So every individual player that had a group of friends to do the strike with.
Right.
I'm still waiting for matchmaking.
Right. Which, I'd heard about that. There's no matchmaking for raids, is it?
I don't believe there is yet.
Okay.
So they haven't released the raid content for this game yet. They're waiting to put that out. So I don't know if
interesting. Not even just like a first tier raid for
It's Friday is when it releases, right?
Oh, okay.
They have strikes, which are their three player instances or dungeons.
Sure.
So you can go and play those, and then they have their heroic strikes.
Right.
Which are their pre-raid content. It's basically getting your gear up, getting your light, which is still there. So there's still light. That was one of the big changes that they've made, where you can level up to 40 with just regular experience from quests or from killing guys. And light has been repurposed into an item level, essentially. So it's an amalgamation of your attack and defense skills that'll give you your light stat. So when they say that light's going away, and it's not, like, you still have a little experience bar for your light, so you can see how close you are to your next light level.
So you do still have levels that are affected by your gear, like literal levels.
So
I don't understand why they don't separate the two. Like, it's just so confusing.
Oh, no. So I'm level 40, but my light level is 218 or something like that. So it's basically
it really
your item
is
level.
A gear score.
Right. It is a gear score. Okay.
Is there a cap for it anymore, or
probably just based on the gear that you can get?
Okay.
The highest level I've seen for something is like 280.
Okay.
For the heroics, it wants me at 240, And it kind of spells it out right away, which is nice.
So they're doing the same kind of gating, like gear check type stuff?
Yep. And that's cool. You could still go and do that content, but it's going to be super, super hard.
Sure. You know, it's interesting. With such a strong gatekeeping system, you'd think that it'd be pretty easy for them to implement a decent matchmaking system, just because, I mean, all you have to do is just look at light level.
Well, they do have a great matchmaking system. Bungie, has just remained strong and adamant that, like, no, if you want to do our raids, you need to do it with friends.
I mean, so, I get it. I remember when they introduced LFR to World of Warcraft, and they definitely, like, they actually have a separate version of the dungeon for the matchmade stuff that's easier, because it's a bunch of headless chickens running around.
Right. And I wouldn't mind them adding a matchmaking component to the previous two raids, because I never experienced them and I'd like to. And now that I've played through like the first part of the Taken King's single player content, like,
wait, so you haven't killed the son of this new villain?
I personally haven't.
Liar.
Everyone's telling me that I have. So
awkward.
Yeah, it's very, very awkward.
The truth comes out.
They don't know.
That's interesting. But that's something that WoW has struggled with as well, is the whole idea that you are the chosen one and there are 8 million chosen people. Like, whoever, every single player is the being singled out. It's an interesting kind of juxtaposition going on.
In most of, like, the conversations you have with characters, or I guess that they have with you, like, they say guardians, like,
sure.
Like, there are they realize that there are multiple people that are doing this.
You're
not alone in the world, but every time, like, you walk past someone, they're like, hey, you killed Crota, didn't you?
Well, and I've seen, like, some of the cutscenes seem pretty specific. Like, they say, like, he versus, like, they.
Yep.
So they, in the intro cutscene.
They're trying to direct it more towards you. Also, that's awesome that they actually have bigger cutscenes and storytelling moments, which they didn't really have before. They had a couple near the beginning of the game.
They
and
got
at, like,
a
the
little
end.
Better with House of Wolves. But yeah, this was supposed to be a huge push for that. And I hear, does Nathan Fillion make as big of a difference as you would think?
He is a huge part of what's happening. So he plays a guy named Kate Six. He's a robot that just kind of acts on his own. He's one of the quest givers in the tower. But he's with you trying to attack the Dreadnought, which is Oryx's giant ship that blows a hole in Saturn's ring.
Okay.
Yep.
I just want to really quick, because the second I saw this really rubbed me the wrong way. I get it. He went through the ring so fast or whatever he shot through it, was it?
Yeah, there's a big battle happening. Yes, he shot a giant cannon from it.
And it punched a hole in Saturn's ring. That ring is caused because stuff is rotating. The hole has not closed yet. Like, that really, I know it's such a little thing and
space
it's very
magic.
Nitpicky, but if you're going to have a sci-fi game, don't leave out the sci.
Yeah. So I guess instead of me just, like, blindly explaining this, are there things that you want to know about The Taken King? I've played maybe 10 hours of the new content.
Do you miss Peter Dinklage? How does Nolan North make you feel?
I don't mind Nolan North in the role. He's doing about the same thing that Peter Dinklage did.
Yeah. I did see a side-by-side comparison video of all the first game's lines, and I mean, you hear a difference, but, like, the delivery, it doesn't do anything for
him. Yeah. The delivery, I actually played for about half an hour only, but I immediately was like, well, he sounds like he's being directed to say it in the same way as Dinklage did. And we all know the problem with the games, like, the problem with Peter Dinklage's character was not his delivery. It was the script, and they didn't change the script dramatically.
And for me, Ghost is a little bit too jokey for my taste. Like, he's
aren't
a robot.
They, like, AIs?
Yeah, they're AIs. But, like you're doing a strike in this thing called Rasputin. It's a giant war mind AI that's in Russia, and you throw a grenade into this little thing to open up some doors, and Rasputin just kind of, like, yells at you in Russian, and Ghost is like, he's pretty mad. He's threatening to rain down death from the skies. So, like, I don't really get the jokiness from Ghost, even though I didn't say it in the jokey way that he did, but it was along those lines where, like,
you know, Peter Dinklage,
or, like, hey, this guy's pretty mad. Don't want to invite him over for dinner.
Yeah.
So for that kind of stuff, like, it makes more sense for Nathan Fillion, even though he's a robot too, but his character is just kind of like, I don't give a crap. I'm going to do what needs to be done.
And sure.
So speaking of Ghost, like
Woody Rogue,
I know that Grimoire cards were all online with year one. Mm-hmm. Did anything change with year two? And like, what's this deal with like Ghost supposed to, like, you scan the environment and it'll tell you more about the backstory or something?
Yeah. So in the first mission on the Dreadnought, Ghost will, you can use Ghost a little bit more instead of like show you your way through the level. Like, it'll usually just show a marker. Ghost will show you important things that, like, if it's you have to follow a power line, it'll highlight it and you can go and follow that. Or in the I haven't really had him tell me specific things about the environment, like things that Grimoire cards would do.
Okay.
But I have been getting more conversations from the quest givers just on the radio and talking with Ghost that will fill in the blanks a little bit better than they did before. But just in general, I think Ghost is a little bit more useful than telling you about the lore. There's platforms in the Dreadnought that will disappear, and you have to use Ghost to see where they are so you can jump to them safely. So they implemented that aspect of the game a little bit better than they have.
I mean, so. I guess the big issue I had with it is I liked the idea of combining like an MMO and RPG and all that stuff, and I liked the action, but it just felt like they created cool environments and gave you like a lot of like kind of fetch quests or whatever, but they almost kind of felt empty. And sure. I know it's space, but like, does this game feel, and from what I've read, a lot of people have said that has changed, but does it feel more like complete or I guess kind of fleshed out?
It does. If you look at the map, there's a lot more places you can go and a lot more missions to do.
But are they like, I think he means like, are they well populated? Like, do they fill them out more? Because I definitely got that vibe too on like just some of the earlier content of year one where it was just like, there are three enemies in a square mile of this zone.
Yes and no. A lot of the existing places still have the same mobs where they were, but there's this new faction called the Taken, which are modified versions.
Those guys, the Hydra guys, who split.
Oh yeah, so that's the Taken Thrall.
Yes,
like they. So there's a Taken version of every enemy type that there was before. So they all have different abilities. There's the Phalanx that had like a shield, but the shield shoots you now. So they'll hold it up. If you get close to them, they'll blast you away. Which is nice, except for that time that I walked around a corner, he blew me off the cliff, which sucked. Like, I was like, oh, okay. Had nowhere to go. So, game's kind of a jerk sometimes now.
It sounds like they added a lot of character to it, which is nice.
That's kind of what I'm getting at.
Something it really needed it was a little bit bland before.
Right.
It's nice to see that
it's more interesting because when the
focused.
Taken are there, everybody's fighting the Taken.
Like, yeah,
hates the Taken.
Multiple situations where you're coming in on an existing firefight and you have to just pick everyone off one by one.
Exactly.
Which, that's cool. And I like the idea the Taken are constantly, the Thralls are constantly splitting into copies every like 3 seconds. So you have to kill them as fast as you can before they repopulate.
Yeah.
It's neat. I do like that. Some of the new mechanics seem quite refreshing, which is nice.
My warlock can now shoot lightning through people, which is great.
Ooh.
That's my new superpower.
Yeah. Also, I wasn't sure if this was new or not. I was talking with my roommate about this. He's a huge Destiny fan, and he plays a warlock, and he was saying he was seeing himself do two-handed melees. Is that new, or is that just is he just a dummy and had never noticed?
It might be new for the Stormcaller. I don't know how they might just like hit
it's kinda
Hadouken
sort
of thing.
Well, ish, yeah. It's kind of like, you know how warlocks kind of just throw their hands out in front of them and like energy flashes. But I really was impressed, honestly, considering that you guys know kind of my opinion on the original one. So I'm really glad to see they really are, I mean, taking a lot of the lessons from WoW that I've been talking about for a while.
I think the people who might have been down on Destiny but like the idea of it might find more to do in the Taken King or might enjoy themselves more in the Taken King, but those who are just against Destiny completely might not.
That's a very here's the question that matters. Do you think this is enough to revitalize Destiny? Because it was having some drop off and stuff, and Bungie has talked about this a little bit. And like, do you think this is actually gonna bring back people who have started and like said, all right, I'm done with this game?
It brought me back.
But let's be honest, you would have played it no matter what.
Well, let me speak to that thing, because I was totally done with it and hadn't played for months and months, and then my brother had ended up getting the two mini expansions or DLC, whatever you want to call them, and House of Wolves is actually what brought me back in, and I really enjoyed it.
Sure. I guess I should clarify, though, like, I've been playing World of Warcraft off and on for 11 yeah. years, but I don't claim that, or 10 years? I don't know how old is that yeah, game now.
11.
But yeah. The, you know, I don't claim that every expansion is the best one yet, but I do play every expansion.
Right.
So, like, there's a fine line between I want to see what they added and sure. I think this is going to make me love Destiny.
For me, the things that kind of drew me away from Destiny were, like, loot drops sucked. Like, you would not get
right,
any quality upgrades to anything that you're doing. Every boss that I've killed in a strike has dropped 2 blue engrams for me. So
is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a good thing. Okay. So you're getting items.
Right.
Like, instead of, like, usually at the end of a mission or at the end of a strike, you would randomly get or not get items.
Sure.
But at the end of these strikes, they've consistently dropped, like, the boss itself dropped 2 items.
That's cool.
That could be better. They could be things that I just destroy for materials to upgrade other weapons or
right.
armor.
Glitter or whatever the heck.
Glimmer. Yeah, like...
I actually read the description of that stuff, and it's really cool. Like, that was really interesting.
For Glimmer?
Yeah, for the currency or whatever, because
oh, yeah.
it's like, programmable matter, basically.
Oh, cool.
Like, that's... like, as I... from what I could tell, and I could be wrong here, it sounded like they were saying it's not so much that it is... it's used as currency, but it also, when you're crafting stuff, it literally becomes part of the item, which
yeah.
is cool. I like that.
That's really awesome.
That was neat. Unfortunately, I had to go into the menu to read about it.
Yeah, and a lot of that stuff, like I said before, it's still not there.
Yeah,
you get a lot more from people talking to you, which I like a lot, because if I'm running around an environment, I could just actively listen.
Yeah, that's what I don't actually get about their implementation of the ghosts. Seems like the ghosts
yeah,
should
be
your
Na'vi.
You. Like, how
yeah.
hard is it to just make the ghosts give you that backstory while you're walking around?
And they do sometimes.
Sure,
but
obviously
like,
the vast majority of it is still text.
But there'll be, like, I want to walk up to, like a dead body and just, like, scan it and be
yeah.
like, oh, this guy yeah. was killed by
you want
Vex
be,
weapons.
You want
or,
the kind of Metal Gear Solid style.
Like, I want, like, a lot
intel.
Of just depth in, depth of information, like what could be around the
yeah.
corner here.
That's one thing, not to change the subject here, but I just wanted to mention, that's one thing that I've really been enjoying since I got Metal Gear Solid 5
yeah.
this week, is being able to, when you're looking through your binoculars, and you can just hit on PC, it's Q,
mm-hmm.
to get additional intel. They seem to have intel on, like, basically every individual model in the game.
Right.
I mean, to the point where, like, I can click on, you know, somebody in a house or just, like, the door next to him or,
yeah.
like, a piece of gear that's right behind him, and they have different things to say about everything. It's just – it's really been quite cool because it's actually taught me a couple tricks and stuff like
yeah.
that. Plus, it just feels – it feels more like a living, breathing world. But then again, we can get to – we'll get to this when we talk about what we've played this week.
Sure.
They did an excellent job of making that world feel very real
yeah.
in Metal Gear Solid.
And that's what Destiny had to do with this yeah. expansion.
And that's what all – MMOs struggle with to some
right.
extent. I want to be clear. I know I can be hard on Destiny, but really even World of Warcraft struggles with that to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to hear, though, that it sounds like they're moving generally in the right direction, and I'm hoping to hear more good things, because eventually, I mean, I'm not completely, you know, black-hearted. Like,
no.
I can be converted.
I know you're not completely against it, but you need to sit down with it for, like,
longer than
2.5 hours,
yeah.
Well, what I was going to ask, kind of along those
sure.
lines, is you're going to have people who are, like, diehard Destiny people
yep.
that have played, you know, never stopped. There's people who picked it up, liked the concept,
yep.
maybe liked the beta. Someone like me, probably like you a little bit, Max, where we played for a little bit and then just dropped it. And then you have people coming in new who haven't played it at all.
Right.
Do they have a good balancing system? I mean, is it hard to, I guess, kind of get back into it? Do you feel like people are kind of ahead of you, or you're, like, behind the game if you... you know, drop Destiny a couple months ago and you're getting back into it?
I feel like I'm getting back into it pretty easily.
I mean, I would imagine just by the way that, like, MMO expansions work generally.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you're going to find common items that are better than the best exotics from the previous
right.
expansion pretty quickly
yeah.
on.
And also, wherever you left off previously, if you have the Taken King, like, you have a good way, like, this quest is open. This is what you should be doing now. So if, like, for me, I stopped playing after the first Destiny release, so I was playing through the original expansions, they now have, like, a quest log that's like, you need to go do the Dark Below stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's something I wanted to touch on.
Yeah.
I hear that they basically wholesale ripped the WoW quest log, kind of. Like, it's got the objective markers, map markers, all this new, like, extra layers of guidance here.
So they'll have, you'll go into your menu, you'll go over to quests, and it'll tell you like little details about the quest,
mm-hmm.
and like where to go, who's giving it, whatever. But if you go to your map, it'd be just like it was in the original Destiny release. Like, this area has your quest.
Okay, so just it go is here. Still
it's
the
still
general. This,
it's still the same thing, but at least it, like, now you can track quests. Like, this is the one I'm on.
Okay, that was the big change in tracking. Okay, I had heard
that kind of
guess
stuff.
I misunderstood tracking as, like, waypoints.
No,
but that
no.
makes sense.
But yeah, it gives you more direction on where to go. And also, wherever you left off before, if you played the two expansions, like, your light levels convert to regular levels. So you're right where you should be, which is good. I didn't feel lost, and having like those quest logs and it giving me like the direction of where I should be going helped out a lot for me to jump back in.
And what? Sorry, to be clear, if you yeah. didn't have the DLC, you should buy the $60 version.
Yeah,
to get
so
all of it.
So they have three different versions of this. I just looked it Barf. Up before this. So if you have everything that they've sold for Destiny before, there's a $40 version of the Taken King that's just the new expansion.
But you won't get the emotes.
You won't get the emotes. You can pay another $20 for the emotes if you want.
You might as well just get the $60.
So the $60 one does not come with the emotes.
Oh, right. Sorry.
But it comes with
tears.
Original Destiny, the two expansions, and the Taken King. So it's everything that's come out so far.
Yeah.
And then there's an $80 one that comes with everything plus your emotes. And I just learned exotic weapons and armor.
No.
So I might have to drop $20.
What?
Do you like
that kind of stuff? Like, I really don't like being given. Like, I hate the kind of things like pre-order bonus. You get like a piece of armor that's,
you know,
better than your starting armor. It's like,
I,
no, let me play the game.
I want to look into it. Because sometimes with pre-order things, you can still unlock it in the game, so it doesn't
exactly.
say if it's a. I can't remember if it said it was exclusive or
sure.
not.
There's also a PlayStation.
Yeah, there
level,
are PlayStation
right?
exclusive yeah. Exotics and legendaries. So.
And a mission.
And usually strikes and
yeah, but the year
maps.
One stuff I believe was its timed exclusivity, and yep. it's now available to all players.
Yeah, I'm just saying, Taken King has some stuff that's
right.
Now,
yep.
Yeah,
right.
So I have one more question for you before
sure.
we move on. I'm just curious, for someone who has never played Destiny before, did you get a chance before you got into the new Taken King content to see if there were any like changes at all to the year one stuff? For someone who has no character at all in Destiny, who's first coming in, are they going to have to basically slog through year one, or has it benefited from some of these like kind of life cycle upgrades?
I think it benefits from it. I don't think that they've changed too much with
sure.
the actual like mission structures.
Of course, but
you'll still have like the quest logs and being able to give you direction that way.
What would you tell someone who has never played it before
sure.
and is thinking about it but feels daunted by the amount of like effort it's going to take to actually get to max level?
It doesn't take that much effort to get to max level.
Okay.
I went from 27 to 40 in the last like 3 days.
Well,
again,
okay, here's one other thing.
Is 0 to 40 though.
When you get the Taken King, do you not get a token to boost
oh, yeah,
you up
you
to
do.
The starting
you get,
level? Yeah.
You get
really?
A token to get to 25.
Okay, cool.
So you can do that if you just want to play the new stuff, but there's a whole game. Like, if you've never played Destiny before, you have a whole game to play through before you get to the expansion.
Sure, but, I mean, think about this. So, say there's somebody who's been waiting for Destiny to get better, like,
sure.
in the Taken King, and
yep.
they'd held off. They may not want to play through the year one because of what they've heard about it or something like that.
Sure,
I could
and
see
that's
that.
That's where you have the token.
That's
for,
neat.
For
okay,
your,
I didn't realize yep. that they did the character boost a la, World of Warcraft.
But also, now they give you more bounty slots, so you can gain more experience that way. There's ways to level up pretty quick.
Sure.
And now you don't have to grind for light. It is significantly faster.
Right. And
cool.
And so I've noticed I'm actually getting new gear at a much faster rate than I used to. So
that's
like
good. That's
actual,
really important.
Actual improvements.
Actually, my roommate mentioned that as well. He did he was probably about an hour and a half into the expansion,
yeah.
and he did a mission, and he said he got two pieces of blue gear that
yeah.
were quite good
yeah.
and replaced what he had in slot,
right.
and he was shocked. He was like, oh my god, two upgrades?
Right when I hit 40, like my main weapon was maybe a 200 damage. They gave me a 250 damage weapon
wow.
right when you hit 40. So like they give you upgrades pretty consistently
cool.
now, which is great. So, but we'll see. I just hit 40 this morning, last night. Stayed up kind of late last night, but we'll kind of see where that goes in the next week or so, if I feel like I'm still progressing.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I'll be very interested to hear once all the excitement for new content dies down, what everyone's you know, long term opinion is.
I am still in the honeymoon phase with this, so I'm a little bit still gushing, but
yeah, of course, but no problem. But let's move things on. I'm sure we could talk about Destiny all day long.
Could.
Some of us.
This is fairly exciting here for me, given it sounds like they're going to try and breathe some new life into Grand Theft Auto 5. There is a new free set of modes in the GTA Online free mode when you're doing the free roam. There are a whole bunch of new things. The big one that everyone's talking about kind of is the new Hunt the Beast mode, where one of the players basically becomes a werewolf and runs away while all the other players are chasing them. And it looks pretty fun. I mean, there's a ton of new little mini games. Some of them are more similar to existing ones than I would like, but I see at least three or four of these that seem pretty cool. I mean, we've got stuff like what was the big one you really liked, John?
It was the one where you have a valuable asset and you're running away from everyone else.
Moving Target was it? Or no, it was Hot Property.
Hot Property.
Yeah, yep. That sounds pretty interesting.
That sounds like how I used to play GTA when I was younger.
Sure, definitely.
Just you'd play tag like. You level up your wanted level and then just see how long it takes for like the cops to even tag you with their car.
Right.
And then you pass it off to your friend. That kind of stuff. So I think that's the most organic GTA like one out of these. But yeah, I mean, turning into a werewolf is pretty sweet.
I'm also really excited for. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say what I like about it is since it's in free mode, you don't have to worry about matchmaking or waiting around in the queues forever because it's just it pulls everyone in the area together and gives them an option to jump in. And like they have some pretty great adversary modes too. Hunting Pack was my personal favorite. You're part of a team and you have a vehicle that if it goes below a certain speed, it blows up. So the opposing team is trying to like ram it and make it stop while your team's trying to defend and get it to the end zone.
It's Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock in
speed.
This mode.
Got to jump that bus over a highway.
Yes.
Yeah, that one looks really fun. And I think the big one that I'm excited about is King of the Castle. I'm really hoping that they're going to add some verticality to the game. Basically, it's a free-for-all, and there's a building designated as a castle, and people need to try and ascend to the top of it and claim it as it's like a King of the Hill type thing. And I would really like to see them actually use some of the tall city buildings and stuff. Mm-hmm. I want to see people climbing the building because right now I'm just holding out for Crackdown for that verticality in my shooters.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea, and I like the variation of the games. It's not like they created 10 things that are essentially like two different games that they're rebranding or whatever. It's something they probably had to do too, just because you have Destiny coming out, all these new titles releasing, and I think they've done a good job just with the releases and stuff of kind of keeping people online and keeping people engaged with this. The ultimate problem though is it just takes like a long time for this to load, and I understand it's a big environment or whatever and a lot of different people, but at least this way you don't have to wait. And kind of, I've always felt like the matchmaking there wasn't very good. It was one of the weaknesses of
that
online.
The biggest detractor for me for playing online is that I just could never get a full-size group or even half-size. Yeah, I never had any luck.
Are you guys both playing on console? No, I'm not saying that the matchmaking is not bad, but I mean, there's a very obvious worst part of it, the hackers. And that's what my big concern is with all this stuff being in free mode is right now when somebody gets a bounty on their head because they're running around killing, like, you know, killing random people and they get wanted level, it's, you know, some dude all inevitably jumps out of a jet and like does a back flipping headshot and then lands on the ground after dropping half a mile without taking damage. And it's just like, okay, we're either in the Matrix or that guy's hacking. And it's incessant. I mean, we've heard stories of people being banned from the game because someone just vomited money all over them by hacking. Like, and it's really
sounds kind of hot.
Well, it's funny, but it's also frustrating.
No, it sucks if you really want to play.
Especially because they're putting this stuff in the free mode. The one place where you could kind of mitigate the hackers was by doing the group missions where you're kind of segregated from everyone else.
What you could probably do, though, is start your own, like, I don't know what they call it, but essentially your own area, right? With 16.
I'm pretty sure that a private server is, like, illegal.
Well, no. Can't you enter a different? I don't know what they call
it. Invite only.
Yeah, like an invite only world, right?
Yeah, but then you can't do really any of these modes unless you have enough friends to do them. Yeah, but sure.
And also would let you game.
I mean,
farm experience and stuff like that. I don't think it's an option.
Right. Well, and out of the four of us, I'm pretty sure I'm the only one with it on PC. So that's me with like, you know, half my friends are out of the option. So
yeah,
I don't know. I'm excited for this, but then again, at the same time, they have other issues to address.
Right.
Sure.
That said, I am really happy. One thing they did that Destiny did not, and none of us really mentioned, is this is free. And this is another free content update.
No, that's what they've done well with this.
Yeah,
well, they
did.
Speaking of content updates, they did basically come out and say that they're done focusing on the single player, which is to say they haven't focused on the single player post-release.
Did they do anything?
Just some updates and free like little bits and pieces of content, but nothing story content-wise. Which is both a blessing and a curse, because some people would like to see an expansion like the Ballad of Gay Tony version of what that did for GTA 4. It was fantastic. But now, you know, a lot of people said, well, the story is pretty lackluster and didn't really push the envelope. It was pretty common theme with it. It was a huge improvement over 4, but that's not really saying much. It was just,
the
you know,
game
these
that
three.
Trevor didn't push the envelope.
It was, you know,
I think the three-player thing mattered. Like, I thought it was cool.
No.
I really liked the story.
The mechanics mattered, but the story was just, I mean, you know.
I would rank
what,
this as the second best Grand Theft Auto story.
I mean, okay. So when
without
it comes,
question.
Can we talk about this for a second?
Yeah.
Because I don't think with Grand Theft Auto, I was actually talking about this with an old lady yesterday. She's like, my son loves Grand Theft Auto, and she's like, you probably do too. I'm like, yeah, I play it. I like it a lot. And I tried to explain to her, like, the story for Grand Theft Auto, and it's not all about just, like, shooting hookers and stealing their money.
Yeah,
and, like, I don't think Grand Theft Auto has to be, like, that kind of thing. It, like, you don't have to push the envelope with Grand Theft Auto. If you tell a good crime story, that's all it needs to do.
Yeah.
And that's what it does.
I kind of wonder, though, if it eventually kind of just goes online and it almost kind of plays like an MMO, where you have, like, a story in there.
I hate that, though. I mean, here's the thing. Well, even in, like, World of Warcraft, the story content, I tried to do solo. Like, I don't want some 11-year-old making jokes over his mic while I'm trying to learn the story.
No, and the reason, too, I like that they had the one player and then the multiplayer is that you actually got to, like, interact with story characters.
Yeah.
And so, no, I don't think they should go away from it. Although, I do like that they focus online, because that is, once I played through the story, that's like my favorite part of it.
How much time have you actually spent playing GTA Online versus the single player?
I'm like level 80, so I'm at probably 84 or something. But
would you say that you've spent more time on online than in single player?
Yeah.
What about you guys?
Oh, I haven't touched online, really.
I've probably put about 30 hours into online, and I'm pretty much done with it.
I like the idea of them adding a separate storyline for online.
I do like the idea of a new location, too.
For me, online, I didn't need 15 or 16 people.
Yeah.
I needed co-op. That's
for,
all
like,
I wanted.
Like heist stuff.
Yeah. I wanted, and the heists, I know this is like totally a, you know, it's because I don't have enough like online friends who have PCs and own the game and all of that, but having all of the heists require like 3 people or more and stuff like that really like gated the content for me in a way that no matter
I'm
how much time I
that.
Spend on the game, I'll never see those heists unless I go on YouTube.
Do they do heists like they do? Like I said before, I haven't played online. Do they do the online heists like they do in the game where you plan out like...
Yeah, they
do. Multiple levels.
Well, they do, but...
It's not...
It depends on... Well, not just... Well, it kind of is, but it depends on how you do it. Like, if you can start at any stage in the heist, sort of, if you select it through, like, the mini menu or if somebody's already done it before, like, the quick menu or whatever. And so, like, I've done heists, apparently, because I've stolen, like, moving vans that they're going to use in a heist that I never see. Or, you know, I mean, and also, the likelihood of getting all the way through a heist without the group breaking is like, I mean,
that's the problem.
Lot of work.
Yeah. I mean, with it having to be 4 people, like, you'd think they set it up.
Well, it's like a raid in Destiny. It's just gated content, like Henry said.
Well,
right. Except it's, I'd say even in Destiny, at least there's, I mean, this is real hard for me to admit, but Destiny does social stuff better probably than Grand Theft Auto does. I mean, at least you can find people who would want
to play with
you.
Yeah.
Like, and they benefit just as much.
You have the option to play it by yourself in Destiny too. For strikes, you're not gonna complete it.
Right, exactly.
You're not gonna complete it whatsoever.
If you're gonna
have the option,
if you're gonna have the multiplayer have its own story, like with the cutscenes and, you know, stuff happening, at least put in the option for people to do it with like really terrible AI guys with reduced rewards.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair.
So Do you have flexibility for how you do the heist? I almost said strikes or raids.
You do.
The heist. So, for whatever reason, my brain just went to this, but I would love to have, like, Grand Theft Auto, or not Grand Theft Auto, Metal Gear Solid, the other three-word named. All right. So, I would like to have Metal Gear Solid multiplayer. You have a mission. You can go in any way that you want. You know your objective. You know kind of what you're against.
Yeah,
but you can have three different people kind of raiding this base and taking care of objectives.
It's called Ghost Recon Wildlands, and it's coming out next year.
You're awfully confident about for somebody who's never played the game.
Well,
it's
no,
be fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm on the hype train.
But wait, along that line, I mean, what do you guys think if you had in the one player? You essentially did the multiplayer heists in the one player mode one
way,
and then
there's
you
a name for what you are really oddly describing, and it's called co-op.
Yeah,
what I need to do is make it all single player, and then have the option for co-op.
Yes, and
increased reward.
But isn't Metal Gear Online starting up soon?
I think that's more competitive than anything.
Oh, I was under the impression it was co-op only, and you're taking on bases.
Well, I don't know. So if that's
I'm
the
looking,
way it
there
is
an
I'm
article about
this.
I'm not talking about the forward operating base stuff.
No,
I'm
sure.
Not, like the actual.
Sure.
I hate that stuff. I'm playing in offline mode.
Oh yeah, yeah. I can't even connect to the damn servers.
But see, in all seriousness though, do you not like online or do you not like the loading screen, the matchmaking, the like?
None of that bothers me personally because I play on a computer, so I just am watching like movies on my other screen while it's matchmaking.
No, and I do that too. I just kind of wonder. Like,
that's my biggest turnoff. To answer your question, it's the downtime. It's
the
way
the
community.
Yeah, I don't like playing
with
people, but I don't know.
And so the community wouldn't change, but everything else would change if you... Like, if it feels like it's eventually there's... it's time for a new Grand Theft Auto.
Right.
That's what I'm getting to.
Well, let's be honest, you guys. The reason that they're doing all this is because there's way more money and they have microtransactions in multiplayer. Yep. And this is just kind of the way it's going to be. As much as it would be more consumer-friendly to have it all single-player with an optional co-op, you can't make a profit on that. So,
Final thing regarding Grand Theft Auto, if you participate in any of the new events from today through Sunday, you get 50 grand to spend in game and an exclusive t-shirt for your character.
50 grand? Chump change.
Put that towards your next helicopter.
Yeah, the one that I immediately fly into the ground. Yep. All right, well, that's enough about GTA for today. Hopefully, I'm going to give some of those new modes a shot. I haven't gotten a chance to try them out yet, but I guess I'll get my free 50 grand.
Is it, though? Is this the end of GTA talk for today?
I think so. There's no, actually.
Plot twist.
Yeah, and let's jump ahead a little bit on our news stories and just jump right to that. It's a good segue. Do we
want to, sorry, real quick, Metal Gear Solid, I can clarify what that online is.
Oh, yeah, sure. Why don't you go real
quick? So it said there's at least three game modes. Comm Control offers a twist on traditional domination play, in which teams fight to control several zones on a map. Unlike traditional domination modes, each team has a separate objective. So attackers aim to complete a hack before the time limit ends, while defenders aim to slow the hack.
So it's kind of like Spy versus Mercs from Splinter Cell back in the day? All right. No one knows what I'm talking about. That's really cool, though.
I wouldn't be shocked.
It sounds like it's semi-asymmetrical multiplayer,
sure,
which is cool.
Which is
I like that idea. It sounds kind of Counter-Strike-y.
Yep.
And then there's Cloak and Dagger mode, which is modeled closely to the old Team Sneaks mode from previous online Metal Gear, in which one team is aiming to infiltrate using sneak techniques and the other side has lethal armaments.
Okay,
so that's
like Spies versus Mercs.
Okay.
And then Bounty Hunter mode is kind of an interesting system of scoring. I'm reading this from Game Informer, in which kills on enemy players build up on a bounty on your head, making you both valuable to kill and easier to find on the minimap. This sounds kind of like Grand Theft Auto's bounty mode, kind of.
Yeah, and to be honest, with having played about 30 hours of Metal Gear Solid 5 now, none of that sounds very appealing to me. I'd rather just run around in single player alone.
No, I would just like a co-op. Give me the missions in there.
And I want
and
full
just
co-op. Just let somebody have drop-in, drop-out to my single player.
But then I want to have, like, D-Dog, and then someone else has D-Walker.
That would be so overpowered.
I know, but that's the thing. Like, you have these missions that you could do co-op and have all the things that each person would.
That could be really goofy and over the top. You could do some fun stuff with that.
Right, exactly. But so it's all PvP is what you're seeing.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what I saw.
Cool.
All right. Well, moving on to the BBC's Grand Theft Auto movie. Yes, so we've talked about it in the past. We all know that they're being sued right now by Rockstar because they did not get their permission to make it, or didn't even ask. And now we have the first reviews coming out, and apparently...
Is it good?
It's real bad, you guys. It's real bad.
But Harry Potter's in it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, couldn't save this one. It's exactly what we worried about. It appears to be very heavily sympathizing Jack Thompson, the horrible bigoted lawyer who, like, famously led the charge against violent video games.
Wait, sympathize with him?
Yes, he is the sympathetic character.
He was too good, lawyer. And he just got rejected by society because of his
resistance. Yeah, he's just too...
Well, are you a lawyer after you've been disbarred?
Yeah, exactly. Well, they really kind of gloss over that. He's disbarred, yeah, exactly, because he cares. He just cares too much, you guys. It's, won't someone else think of the children? I mean, it's bad. And there's very little character development for the studio developers. It's just, I mean, apparently it's just full of factual inaccuracies. They have scenes like, one example was they have a scene where people are chanting. There's protesters outside of the Rockstar Studios. And that actually never happened during this debacle, that the hot coffee debacle that this covers. That happened for the game Bully, which is not actually a Grand Theft Auto game. It's close, but it's not. And these are important differences. They've reordered a bunch of stuff to, quote-unquote, add to the drama. And basically, this is one of the worst images of gamers we've seen in a while.
What was the Bully stuff again?
A Bully?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, why
were protesting?
People... Was it the that you could kiss a boy?
I think it was just violent. I think it was just kid violence. You're a kid, yeah, exactly. Right. But although I'll be honest, I could be. It's kind of fuzzy. I didn't actually play Bully, so I've been meaning to. But you should check it out. It doesn't seem like it's aged very well. Like, I have it, but I'm just not sure I want to actually.
You got the PC version. It ages better than the others.
Yeah, that's true. But as a PC gamer,
just get some mods. Get some of the mads in it.
Standards. Fair enough. But yeah, so basically, long story short, this is a terrible misrepresentation of the actual court cases and the actual history of what happened. Rather than showing Jack Thompson as this bigoted loudmouth who is clearly just, you know, stomping his feet for attention, they portray him as the guy who cares just so much. And Rockstar as basically out of touch or clueless, to the point where they're surprised that Vice City did well, even though that was the third the sequel to their first 3D Grand Theft Auto game, which did quite well as well, Grand Theft Auto 3. So I don't know. This is exactly what we kind of all expected. I think we were all hoping for something, for it to be surprised.
Yeah, obviously, you want things to be good, but when it's...
this was just abysmal. Yeah. I'm going to be watching it over the weekend to really see how bad it was, and I'll check in with you guys again next week, probably with a rant and some very, very angry words. But for now, let's just leave it at avoid it like the plague.
Well, The one point I want to make is the BBC, they could have done a documentary, right? Yeah. And you can represent all sides on this. You can talk to Jack Thompson as well as talk to Rockstar. Don't get yourself sued. Don't have something that – you either like this because you don't like Grand Theft Auto, or you hate this because you don't like Grand Theft Auto – because you like Grand Theft Auto.
I wonder how hard it would be to get the whole story, and you hate it because
it's factually inaccurate. Yes.
So if you create a documentary, hopefully you bring new information or new perspective or something to life.
Or just – actually tell the story accurately even would be fine. I wouldn't care if they'd added nothing to what we already know and just told the actual story, because what it really should have been, this story is a story of, like, basically parental overreach, and it resulted in some of the best science that we still use today that shows the lack of correlation between playing violent games and being violent.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's very frustrating. I have a feeling that now after this, we may see Australia maybe tighten some more laws on who can sell what violent games. Yep. And we might see more parents groups coming up who have seen this saying, you know, we need to make the PEGI rating system even more ridiculous and over the top. For those that don't know, PEGI is the British equivalent of ESRB. There's no good side to this. The very best thing we might get is something that's so bad it's good, and I'll let you guys know if it is, but from what I'm reading, everyone is saying it's so bad that it's just really, really bad.
If you want historical accuracy, Doctor Who's new season starts this week, so there you go.
Good Lord. All right.
Well, I think trying to remember what my original point was here, but
we can't help you there, buddy.
No, I'm stuck in my own mind. It was something good, I'm sure, but we can move on.
Well, speaking of TV, did you like that segue? PewDiePie is making his own TV show, so he's going to be stepping back a little bit and only doing one upload a day instead of two. And we're going to be – well, I guess he was on TMZ, and he's going to be working on, I'm assuming, what would have to be some sort of reality TV show, maybe a look into the lives of gamers.
Biggest bunch of don't care ever.
So apparently he was in Hollywood. He was kind of denying that it was a TV show, and then came out and said it was a TV show that he was working on after being filmed on set.
Well, TMZ came after him, right?
Yeah.
Such an original idea. I mean, I can't believe nobody's thought of doing video game related programming before. Well, no, it will be a huge success.
I think he's doing it 'cause his videos are like
they are on the downswing.
Yeah. Yes, I was being facetious. I was talking about G4.
But he only makes like $7 million a year, guys.
Well, and to be clear, I don't know about you guys, but I'm getting really tired of the public's perception of like the YouTube community and gaming in general is so heavily influenced by this guy, but he is only representative of about ages 8 to 11 maybe of like gaming demographics, and he's just getting all these praises lauded on him and stuff when there are like legitimate pundits and stuff out there that could actually make a really good contribution and make a good case for gaming. The best case scenario of this, you guys, lest you forget, the best case scenario of this is, okay, bros, let's do this now. PewDiePie! Like, is that what you want on TV representing gamers?
So, have they said, like, what this is, though? Is it documentary?
No, no.
Is
it appears to be, it's a TV show that has a set. Yeah, and the set looked like it was not just a... From the photo that I saw... they have it doesn't necessarily look like it's just like a talk show.
Sure.
So I don't think it's like, you know, a late night set or anything like that.
And like, we don't know if it's a pilot, who he's working with. It's just
still pretty under wraps.
A show,
but
yeah.
Giant who cares? I mean,
I don't think any of us are really invested in PewDiePie at all.
I don't think people with money or that.
That's where all my money is, actually.
Do you fall asleep to PewDiePie every night?
It's tied up in there.
It'd actually not be a bad investment.
Yeah.
But that said, you know, so there's a show. I'm sure that we'll hear more about it once it actually airs. But in the meantime, gaming's biggest confusing oddity continues to be confusing and odd.
I was going to say, sorry, Fallout 4 has not been banned in any other country. This is my original thought. So I don't think this BBC movie is going to do anything to sway people's opinion on violence in video games.
It'll, I think it's one of those things that there's been such like a backlash on its quality and its authenticity that I don't think it's going to be it's not going to affect anything.
Well, I hope not, but I mean that we've seen plenty of movements, not even necessarily gaming related, that are able to pick up traction.
I was talking about PewDiePie's show.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I did just throw a random joke.
I'm totally lost.
Oh, I'm so confused.
Anyways, no, it was the thing
you, Tom.
For the record, Tom, I appreciate that, but I mean we have seen, even in the last year and a half, Australia continue to tighten up its control over violent video games. There's nothing controversial about Fallout 4 yet, which is why they haven't done anything yet.
But we'll see
what happens when GTA 6 comes out. They already didn't sell GTA 5 at Targets in Australia, if I remember correctly. So, I mean, let's
hope Red
make sure
Dead
we get all
2 comes first, though.
Let's hope Red Dead comes to PC first. Oh, that's so bad. It's not fair.
Such a good game.
No, I hope so.
It's not fair.
You've never played through it?
No, I actually. That is a game that I have bought twice for Xbox because two different roommates I lived with, I desperately needed to play more of it. I've beaten it like on two separate consoles, on two separate copies of the game.
There was a CNN thing that said like 80% of people didn't finish it. And it's because, like, remember I got to the end and I didn't realize I was not at the end?
Oh, yeah.
No, I did beat it, but I beat it like I played it for a while, and then like literally a year later.
Epilogue.
Yeah, that's
why I'm confused, because like that was like, otherwise you'd just be like, well, that was abrupt.
Well, I mean, it drops you into the world, and then you just go do whatever. But like, you probably didn't see that quest mark.
No,
to go continue the story.
I'm an obsessive completionist with that kind of game, so I guess I would never miss.
No, and they did it well. It's just like there's like three different bosses,
right,
and at some point,
the thing was like all the reviewers are like, keep playing until you actually see the credits.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Yep. But yeah, I would love to see that come to PC, but now I've completely lost my train of thought.
Enough random thoughts from Tom, sorry.
What do you want to talk about next? Do you want to talk about some Counter-Strike?
Yes, I would actually. So Valve has finally addressed one of the biggest issues with CSGO. I'm really happy to hear about this.
Gun trading?
Yeah, okay. So to be fair, they kind of encourage that.
I know, yeah.
That's like they make so much money off of that. No. They finally fixed the hitboxes.
Oh, see, that's actually a good thing to fix.
Oh, my God, I'm so happy. So
when you see the before and after of the hitboxes,
oh, it's
too,
hilarious. And for those that don't know, hitboxes are basically the detection when you shoot in a first-person shooter, when you, like, shoot somebody in the hand, for example, the hitbox is the space that you can basically tag them in their
that,
hands.
That it affects their
Yeah, exactly. Health. Yeah. So previously, people's heads had a square-shaped hitbox, which means if you shot really close to their cheek, it would be a headshot, even though it didn't actually touch them.
Yep.
And it's actually, yeah, like Max said, it's hilarious looking at the before and after. And it looks like they cut about 25% of the hitboxes off.
And wasn't it like people who were jumping had smaller hitboxes or something was affected there?
Yeah, exactly.
That happens a lot in fighting games, too, and it's interesting to go in and turn on the hitbox data so you can see exactly where the hitboxes are.
Sure.
But yeah, it's great that they fix it in there because you want it to be accurate.
Right. Well, and I'm happy, too, because there's something that they never really addressed in Source that really bothered me was you could hurt people by shooting their gun.
Yeah.
And so it's really good to hear them cleaning this kind of stuff up. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't think it's anywhere on the gun necessarily, but I just know that the hitboxes would bleed out in that one as well, which is less than ideal, especially in one of the most competitive first-person shooters.
You think that these days you can make your hitboxes the same size and shape as the models themselves?
Yeah, well, you know Valve. They like to do everything
their own way. Just in general. I mean,
you'd think they could literally just use...
Yeah. Just be like, this mesh is the hitbox.
That's a good point, actually. That's kind of hilarious. Well, I mean, it's something, though, so... At least they're trying to make some measures, but you're right. It would be nice to see them make any effort to clean up what's becoming a real gambling scene. Yeah. I mean, I know for a fact that my younger brother, who will remain nameless, has probably... Probably has like $500 in equipment, and I think he invested like $1, and he just plays it all the time, all the time. And I'm just like, well, there is a minor gambling. interesting.
It sounds like he's up, though, so that's good.
Well, he's up a lot because he's good at the game, but I mean, still, it's just, there's something odd. There's something slightly depressing about constantly seeing him playing CSGO and being like, oh, he's probably gambling. Yeah. That said, hitboxes are a great step in the right direction.
Yep.
So glad to see that they're continuing to support that game. Maybe I'll go back and mess around in it some more. Let's see, what else have we got here for news? Oh, yes, this is a really interesting one. So we have our first delayed Kickstarter court-ordered restitution, which is a mouthful. But basically, there's this card game called, it was the Asylum Campaign, I
believe.
I think
that's what you said before.
And it's a physical card game. Everybody buys in, and you're supposed to get, like, the first series of cards or whatever.
Sure.
And the guy just never delivered. Like, it's still, as I understand, it still has not come. And does he have any intention of finishing it? I don't believe
At this point, everything's up in the air. I'm assuming
things went to court, then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
that's probably not a good thing.
Exactly. And so what's really interesting is a Washington court has actually ruled that it's like a tort suit. They're paying out all the backers. I think it's around $600, which is pretty crazy when you consider, I believe so, yes.
Right, but they also have a $31,000 civil penalty, and the Consumer Protection Act saying they owe $1,000 per backer. So
wow, that's crazy. See, and that's really interesting, too, because now this is something we always say, the Kickstarter has always been kind of the Wild West, and we're all just kind of waiting for the other foot to drop.
Yep.
And so this is the other foot dropping loud and hard, and I think we're going to see a lot less of these frivolous Kickstarters.
Actually,
at least
one important
America.
Update. As of June, some backers do report that they've begun to receive their decks.
Sure. Okay. So that's why I was saying before, I believed it was just a huge delay.
Right.
But it's interesting to see it, especially with a physical product. I really would have thought we'd have seen it with one of these high-profile games.
I think we see delays in games enough as it is, so people are more lenient with it.
Sure, I mean, just, but we've seen abandoned projects, multiple abandoned projects on Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah.
Or, I mean, what was the one, the guy who moved all over the place and then ran out of money recently?
Oh, I don't remember. Well, there was the Yogscast one and stuff like that.
That was even weirder. That was that went into some really sketchy territory, and I don't want to get into that too much. But yeah, so this is
hopefully
good for consumers, I guess. I hope it doesn't deal a permanent blow to Kickstarter. I'm guessing that they're going to have to make some slight changes to their terms and conditions just to make sure that people who are wanting to put stuff up are aware of possible legal repercussions.
Right, and I think, just for Kickstarters in general, people should think a little bit more on like budgets and time frames and make sure everything's possible to do in a certain amount of time and be active in communicating with the people who have backed. Because I'm sure if this guy wasn't, I'm guessing he was just silent, just like dead silence about everything.
Yeah.
If he wasn't communicating with the people who backed his product, they might not be going to court.
Right, so. Exactly. Yeah, transparency is in the last, like, 5 or 6 years, all anybody says is transparency, transparency, transparency.
People
if you're
are
being
more
sponsored,
with it.
Tell people. If you're, you know, taking longer than anticipated, just tell people.
Yeah.
People are understanding. Just don't put up a wall.
Yeah, don't.
People will
fall
freak
off the face
out.
Of the earth.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's a thing that's happening, and hopefully now we're going to see a little bit more trustworthiness in Kickstarter, because I don't know about you guys, but I'd kind of lost my faith in it a little bit here lately. There has not been a lot of really big Kickstarter success stories where we've seen a great product come out.
There's cool little things that come out. Like
always cool little things, but nothing to reinvigorate my interest.
Right. I've been having a blast with Exploding Kittens, and all my friends have been playing it. Tom can speak
to that. Is that a card game?
It's the Oatmeal's card game.
Okay, yeah. That is fun.
Is that the one that looks like Adventure Time?
Probably.
Goofy, cartoony-ish,
It's so
like the
fun.
Same kind of art style-ish.
Yeah.
That looks awesome.
Like, there's, like, I guess going back to card games, there's a card game I really like called Sentinels of the Multiverse, and they always kickstart their new expansions, which is kind of nice. So
see, that's different. That's cool too, because they have they've established more.
Right,
of a,
right, and like, that's the stuff I get
exactly.
excited about.
That's cool. All right, so fair enough. So if you're actually using it to just to pay for each project going forward, I can understand that. Yep. Especially with the physical games, because a lot of people might not realize this, but with physical products, even though they tend to be slightly easier to deliver, they tend to cost almost the whole cost of the Kickstarter.
Did you hear Shenmue 3 is going back up on Kickstarter?
Yeah, they're asking for even more money now.
It's for slacker backers, as they call them.
So when is Kickstarter going to do what they really need to do and implement a, you know, you can only, you know, like the court systems, you can only be tried on this once.
They
get one chance.
They need a sequel Kickstarter site called Kickstarter 2, Electric Boogaloo, and so anytime you need a second Kickstarter, you go to Kickstarter 2.
Yes, and then nobody backs you.
Yep. I guess.
But people will back you.
I don't know if anybody else cares about this, but on the tale of like delays and stuff like that, Persona 5 was delayed, and that makes me sad.
That's one of the
news coming out of Tokyo Game Show this week. I'd say it's the biggest JRPG outside of Final Fantasy these days.
Yeah, definitely.
At least for
ones
that people
Golden,
are looking forward
definitely.
To. Yeah, so it's supposed to come out this year. And then it got delayed till summer of 2016. But they released a new trailer. Still looks great. Still excited about it.
Well, you'll have to let us know how it is.
You guys should go play some Persona 4.
I am never going to do that.
Persona 4. It's great.
Yeah. All of the grinding of a JRPG mashed into a dating simulator. What's not to like?
And going to high school. And having a part-time job.
That's what I said, a dating simulator.
Yeah. And having Pokemon-ish things.
Yeah, it looks. They do look interesting. I'll be very excited to hear what you have to say about it next year. But sorry, I mean it.
Next year, no more talking about it till 2016.
Yes, exactly. Moratorium on Persona News.
Put it on the calendar.
Exactly. So one last news story today, and then we're gonna move on to what we've played this week. Nintendo has announced their new president. He's going to be replacing Iwata. Everyone is, of course, still very sad and grieving to hear about that untimely death. But it is looking like we're kind of good things going forward. Hopefully, people are making a lot of jokes because the new president, Tatsumi Kimishima, excuse me, people are joking because he was like apparently doing some kind of HR direction right before this. Oh, but yeah. I don't think that those people fully understand kind of how Japanese companies are structured, right, where people tend to float between positions that don't necessarily have to do with their particular skills,
yeah,
just because it's a higher rank and stuff like that. And so him being moved from HR does not necessarily mean too much. Let's remember, he was president of Nintendo of America during the GameCube era. And as far as I'm concerned, anyone from Nintendo of America that is doing things now for Nintendo of Japan and speaking for them is great,
yep,
great news. Because Nintendo of Japan are the ones who copyright strike everything. Nintendo of America are the ones who give out free copies and ask people to put it on YouTube.
Yep.
Like, it's kind of ridiculous. And so I'm really hoping that maybe this will breathe a little bit of new life, shall we say, sure, into Nintendo. Not to say that they've been slacking or anything, but we have had a rash of them pulling the typical old school Japanese business stuff this week. And I just want to touch on this just slightly because I'm not 100% clear on it, but it sounds like they've gone pretty crazy banning a lot of YouTube videos as of the release of Mario Maker. They've been just copyright striking ROM hacks like Kaizo Mario. They're copyright striking tool assisted speed runs. Yeah. Basically any emulation of a Mario game or any kind of hacking of a Mario game is being pulled down, which is insane, because the only reason Mario Maker got made and why it has a market is because of the fan hacks. That's literally what Mario Maker is. It's a do-it-yourself fan hack.
Yeah.
And so
I wouldn't say because it's always wanted to make a Mario level.
Because it would never have been financially viable. You say everyone, but not everyone would have shelled out money for it.
I think you're giving those a little bit more credit. Like, they're amazing. They are amazing things.
They have said that part of the reason they made it is because of the huge viewership. But sure, I guess. Why wait until suddenly it's at its most popular it's ever been? That's all. I mean, it just seems awfully convenient otherwise, yeah, then. But it's possible that they're just fulfilling a long-held wish.
Yeah. It seemed like it was something that they could do in between mainline Mario games.
Fair enough. So. Fair enough. All right, so that pretty much wraps up news for today. But I do want to spend a little bit of time talking about what we've played this week. And I think that John has done quite enough telling us about Destiny for now.
We don't need to talk about that.
So let's get things started with Max, who wants to infuriate me, he says.
Well, actually, I'll start with a game I forgot I purchased during the Steam Summer Sale, but I've been playing a good chunk of this War of Mine.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a pretty fun little, it's depressing
fun
as hell.
Yeah.
It is depressing as hell.
It's a good game. Fun is not the word I would use.
I just want to see the world burn. But
it already did. And
yeah, you're about a year too late.
It's a war story set in kind of the Ukraine-ish area of the world. And you play as a civilian instead of a soldier. And your job is not to fight or win the war, but survive in a bombed out house with a couple other survivors. And during the day, you can kind of rebuild your house or kind of craft things and materials. And you have to manage how tired you are, how sick you are, hungry, things like that. And you can go out into the world at night, and different locations will appear on the map throughout the game. And you scavenge and you find things like weapons or building materials, food. You can also find other communities or hostile enemies to kind of sneak around or combat to an extent. There's some decision making and things like that in it. And then the thing is, though, is while you're out scouting at night, you have to manage what your people are doing back at the base. Like, you tell them to sleep, or maybe someone has to stand guard, but if they're standing guard, they're not sleeping, they're maybe sick, people will come and try to raid your base. It's kind of cool because there's some DLC for it, and the proceeds go to, like, victims of war and children and things like that. The artistic style, it's very black and white with a little bit of color in it, I suppose, but it's, like, stencil shaded, almost like very hand-drawn look to it.
It kind of does a fade back between that and kind of like polygons, right?
Right. Yep.
It looks kind of hand-drawn, yep, and then it fades into the models.
It is nice. I enjoy the look. But yeah, I haven't beaten it, but the whole point is basically to survive the winter and then make it to the ceasefire.
Excellent game. Definitely a case for the whole games as art argument. And I would say if you liked the vibe, not the gameplay, but if you liked the vibe of something like Papers, Please, yeah. This would be right up your alley, because it's very much a... You play it and you're having fun playing in the game's mechanics, and then you something will happen and you'll go, oh,
yeah, you
right,
just realize
this is
the
like,
weight of the situation.
There's some serious commentary going on here. That's perspective for you. So, yeah, it's really, that's a great game. I recommend that one as well. What have you been up to this week, Tom?
Yeah, I wish I had something more exciting to report here. I think I'll eventually pick up The Taken King, yeah. And like I said, I've been playing Fallout 3 through the DLC and stuff to get ready for 4. I'm almost at the end of the Sierra Madre again. I think it's worth
saying. I warned you.
Yeah, and it's worth warning people, like, don't do it. That one's the Broken Hearts, is that right? Something like that.
I'm sorry.
What is the DLC called?
Oh, goodness
gracious.
Broken
Hearts Club?
No, it's, here, I'll look it up, but continue.
Yeah, I mean, what I'd say about it is the first one, the Old War Blues, it was fun characters, kind of some fun humor. It just took you away from the actual game, and if you are looking at Fallout 4, I think it's worth playing through New Vegas, even if you haven't played it yet. And it's just, it's kind of a barren, I mean, it is a wasteland because it's Fallout, but...
And it's Nevada.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. It's not like, you know, D.C. or Washington with the with Fallout 3. And I thought that DLC was actually really good, The Pit, and I forget, you go into Maryland at one point or whatever. But, I think that's at least a built-up city, and you felt like something had gotten destroyed.
Yeah.
In certain parts of Nevada, I think a bomb could go off and people wouldn't notice. You know,
right,
it's just,
yeah. Well, I mean, well, that's they what have. They do. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So many bombing.
By the way, it's dead money.
Dead money, that's it. So yeah, don't do that one. But yeah, I'm hoping the other two DLC are good. I'm hoping to get through it quick, so I have more to talk about with the games I've been playing. But I'd say go through, play 3 and play New Vegas if you're interested in 4, because those are really well done games. And I think 4 is probably my most anticipated game, kind of this, you know, holiday collection or whatever you want to call it.
Sure, yeah. And it's worth noting for people who are planning to play 4, Bethesda games don't age super well just because they're so iterative. So you should enjoy them while you can if you're the kind of person who has trouble enjoying older games, just because it's going to be some major improvements coming in 4 that will probably make it kind of hard to go back.
And this one already feels dated. I mean, it's probably 2011 when it came out.
Sure, but I'm saying when you're playing a Fallout game that has fixed that stuff, it's going to be probably kind of hard to go back. Even I struggle as a huge fanboy, even I struggle going back much further than Oblivion in the Elder Scrolls series.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Have you played anything else this week, or is that pretty much it?
Yeah, I played a little Dragon Age. I'm trying to get through that, and I know there was new DLC we talked about, I think, in the last show.
Is that Trespasser?
Is that what it's called? Yeah. And that, I think, wraps it up. It's like 2 years later, and I want to get through that one. But I'm kind of excited, honestly, to get away from my old Xbox 360 and kind of play one where I dabble with the Rare Replay. I actually do like that with Gemini.
Yeah.
And Perfect Dark collection. Those games actually have aged well. I'd say they play pretty well, and I know they revamped them, whatever.
Right, yeah. I was gonna say, remember, they did redesign all those controls, and also like some of the games are running the Xbox 360 live arcade versions, which are rezzed up.
I would say most
cleaned up. Yeah, you don't have the smudginess that you would have on N64.
Right. So. Yeah, I was gonna say Banjo-Kazooie, there's something about it that's, it looks nicer, but there's something just not quite right.
Yeah.
Kazooie's wings don't fold through themselves quite enough.
Nope. Nope.
I do. I still enjoy that game. I don't like swimming in that game. That's the only.
No, I mean,
you
water
still complaining about.
I
terrible.
Still hate those damn bubbles. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Everyone knows Clanker's Cavern.
Yeah, and so freaking Clanker's bubbles suck.
Man, I can't wait till you get to Rusty Bucket Bay. It's gonna be so funny.
No,
so much. Salt.
I actually have not played of all those games on that one. I've played more Perfect Dark and Jet Force Gemini.
Yeah, but, I need to dive back into that now that I think I'm good with buying games for a little bit. Until
the next game comes out?
Until the next game comes out. Until Lego Dimensions next week. Yeah. I don't know. What? You're all staring at me.
You're talking.
Because you said Lego Dimensions.
I did say Lego Dimensions. That game looks rad.
Yeah.
I can't wait to
tell
play
us.
It.
Why don't you really quick run, give us a quick
rundown. So Lego Dimensions is basically like Skylanders or Disney Infinity. You buy little character packs so you can use the characters in game, but they have like 12 different properties that they're doing with it. So Batman Lego.
Henry's judging you right now.
Doctor Who.
No, I'm not judging John.
Portal.
John feels the need to play everything.
Back to the
fine.
Future.
look, you're not going to hook me. I hate these physical media games. I hate them. I cannot stand the idea of you have to go to a store, buy a little plastic figurine that you're competing with thousands of people to get, and then maybe you can take it home and scan it in and then have, like, a new skin. Like,
I didn't talk about this last week. I spent $120 on Disney Infinity 3.0 and a couple characters. Yeah. So I have...
He actually went and got the Deus Ex or Deus Ex expansion,
too. Yeah. That game's fun. That's my first one that I bought, though, and I wanted it because they have Tron characters now. It's Star Wars. I wanted to see what that was. Lego's different,
though.
You
can probably see what something is without spending
$120. You're the kind of person who defends the prequels because they're Star Wars.
No, I don't really like the prequels. I like those. I like the models. I have a ton of
the physical
of
toys.
I like them. They look nice. They're characters that I like. I'm not buying ones that I don't like, that I don't have.
Do we know what kind of build quality they're going to have for this Lego Dimensions?
It's Legos.
Is it literally just Legos?
It is literally Legos.
I mean, I assume that there's like an RFID chip or whatever.
Yeah, so
there's
a base that has that stuff, and then you can build stuff on top of it.
So are the bases, though, just like, I mean, are there legs then? They must have something permanently attached. I mean, is it glued together or...
No. Huh.
I mean, because do you only need the base then to play?
Probably.
Okay, gotcha.
But the fun thing about Lego is you can just...
Sure, although to be honest, I play a ton of... I mean, I played Legos for years.
Yeah.
I loved Legos, but I was never the kind of person who was like, I need to go buy the Luke Skywalker Lego so I can play Star Wars with my Legos.
Sure.
I was just like, I'm going to just make a Star Wars set
sure,
with
but
my own pieces.
Let's say for Lego Dimensions, it comes with... Batman and a Batmobile, and the Batmobile has three different modes that you can build and change. Like, it'll change in the game, but you can rebuild it into these different modes. So
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's a neat little
rebuilding the physical toy change? Oh, okay. See, now that kind of thing,
right,
that I could get into, but it just seems like all these games are just kind of the same. I'm sure it's possible. Skylanders has those stupid swap things.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's possible.
But with,
I don't think it'd even be
so
that
many
difficult.
Lego
I mean,
pieces,
they
like,
would just you would have to use
a special piece
approved
on the bottom
pieces.
Or something like that,
or like there would be maybe a circuit that runs all the way from their foot to, or from the base to
sure.
their head, and like you if you as you line them up, it's you know you match three basically, you know, and now you can mix and match, and I don't know, it'd just be nice to see some innovation. It just seems like all these games with the physical media like Skylanders and Disney Infinity, and now this Lego Dimensions, which, and they all kind of sound the same too.
They all
but
do, yeah.
It doesn't feel like there's any innovation beyond the brand, and that is frustrating.
I'd say, so when it comes to Disney Infinity,
they're different types of games, but none of them are creating a new genre. It doesn't seem like
Skylanders kind of did.
Isn't it kind of just like a basic online RPG?
Yeah, it's just like
Baby's First
adventure.
I mean,
RPG. I haven't played Skylanders.
Okay.
So the thing I know about Skylanders is they gate your progress depending on which characters that you have or type of character that you have.
Oh,
so
wow.
You have to go and buy like this fire guy so you can get through this fire door.
See,
which
this
which is scummy.
Brilliant, but scummy.
Oh,
but,
my God.
So, but at least with like Disney Infinity, you buy like the Star Wars pack, and that comes with the entire Star Wars game, and then two characters with it. So you can play with either one of those characters. And
I don't like that system because you were telling me basically it means that you can't do like even with the Star Wars characters you paid for, you can't cross into other games.
No,
realms.
But that's where they have the toy box mode, and that's all that I've played so far with it.
Mm-hmm.
So the toy box, you can build your own worlds and create like you can put like the. Whatever the Disney castle is, or put lightsabers and all this stuff. Like, build your own place and make games. Like, there's logic things that you can make, like a soccer game. So when this specific item goes in a goal, it's like Little Big Planet, but with
it's like
Disney
Red
characters.
Stone.
Yeah.
It's like Minecraft.
Right. So, I mean, that stuff's cool, but I don't know. I'm excited for
Dimensions. Don't see the appeal because the initial investment, especially for someone who's a collector like you are, what is it, like $300 almost?
For
how much
Disney?
Have you spent on Infinity 3.0?
120.
I thought it was 120 just for the starter pack.
No, 3.0. So the starter pack was 115. I had a discount thing where it's a little bit cheaper, and then I bought two characters.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I have five characters and oh sorry
see now and seven characters. Do you feel that you're getting more out of it than a game that you spend $60 on?
I don't know yet, I haven't played enough.
That's kind of my point, I guess, but sure, fair but, enough.
Yeah, so I mean, originally I bought my girlfriend these two Tron characters, and she's like, well, what if I want to play with these? So that's why I got Disney Infinity, because I've never tried it, but she also wanted to play with these characters, so
fair enough.
But with Dimensions, they have a lot of franchises that I like. Doctor Who, Back to the Future,
Simpsons,
Scooby-Doo, Portal.
This goes back to the
Batman.
Joke I tried to make, and you just did not have any time
what,
for.
What'd you say?
You would watch the prequel. You would defend the prequels. No. It's my point is, just because Tron sold out and they were like, okay, now since it's under the Disney umbrella, we're just going to force, you know, shoehorn it into this game, doesn't mean I need to have everything that's Tron. Like, I don't know.
But,
I just,
but
that
it's one of those things, like...
To me, like, putting one of my favorite brands onto what I consider a not great product makes it worse.
But it sounds like they have interesting interactions in there. Like, so there's, like, the Batman that you get is just Batman. But there's also a Lego Movie place that you can go to that has the Lego Movie Batman that's voiced by Will Arnett.
And
so both
sold
Batman,
separately, I'm sure.
No, it's just, I mean, he's just a character in the game.
Oh,
so
okay.
You go to this place and then both Batman are there, mm-hmm. and then they interact with each other. Like, they all interact in interesting ways. So
yes, that doesn't sound super compelling, sure. But once you've played more, I really do want to hear an adult's opinion on it, because basically all I've seen is, for as far as playing it goes, is children and people who are trying to, you know, pander to children on YouTube. So I want to know seriously, and I know it's hard for you to say negative things sometimes about games, but. Yeah. I want to hear like a real critique of what's good and what's bad on it. Because, you know, I don't like it mostly because of the business model, obviously. I want to know if there's actually any meat to it beyond. Because the toy box, as much as you've sold it to me or tried to sell it to me the last 2 weeks or so, to me sounds super boring. It sounds like you'd be bored right away. So I'm just curious mechanically what's there.
Mechanically, at least combat-wise, you have a talent tree that you work down. Combat's like
don't just throw, but don't just throw general terms around. I mean, let's wait until you've played it a little bit more. But I want to know, when you say a talent tree, I think of World of Warcraft. So I'm thinking 30 talents split across three trees you can customize.
Yeah, no, it's
so I want to know like what it really like. I want to do a nitty gritty and find out, is there any, for somebody who likes like MMOs or somebody who does have a slight interest in seeing the technology
That's not this game.
This game is for people who need this game, it sounds like.
It's a game for people who enjoy these characters, who enjoy these worlds, who want to play around with this stuff, who might have kids, who might have a family.
You
and
just described the
stuff.
Prequels. I'm just saying.
I'm
that's
not
my
describing
point.
The prequels. Why do you keep bringing up the prequels?
Because it's an example of something that's a loved franchise.
Well, no, I think
that
this
just
is
because it's more content.
It's not that, though. It's like going to Disney World. Like, you have all these Disney characters in one place, and you want to interact with them or
yeah,
like,
it's leveraging
experience
the brand.
Their worlds. Yeah, exactly. It's not like I'm
the prequels,
going there.
But sure.
Yeah, but
it's leveraging the brand, too.
Like,
it's
this
a good
argument
example.
Doesn't make sense.
It does. It does.
It doesn't.
It absolutely does. It's leveraging a brand to make more money, basically. I mean, where you're now.
I mean, sort of. Other than that, that'd be like if Star Wars had, you know, Tron in it or something like that. I think
which
the point
it does
is
in this Star Wars and Tron are.
That's what I'm saying, though. The prequels don't. I think this game combines multiple different, you know, brands together.
Heroes of the Storm.
I was gonna mention
like,
that
you have those characters all in one place. Like you have Kerrigan. You have Zeratul, you have, I can't think of any other people. Rexxar. Is Rexxar in there? Or is that...
I'm not sure. That
like, you have all these Blizzard characters in one place, and it's cool that they're all there, and you can choose which character that you want to be.
Yeah, but that's not the draw of the game. That's just kind of a nice little icing.
I would say that's a draw. It's just the game.
The draw is that it's an accessible MOBA, and then on top of that,
with
it's
characters
got good
that you know.
Sure.
So, like Disney Infinity or
so that's
Skylanders
my question. That's
or
why I want to hear from you once you, like, hear from you down the line.
He's saying the game fundamentally is good with the Heroes of the Storm, and I guess that's what he's asking.
Yes, and that's what I'm asking is beyond the brand, beyond that you really like the Tron stuff and you like the Star Wars and the Batman and stuff like that, I'm curious about the actual, like, you know, gameplay elements and progression and stuff like that.
Right.
Because I do get that there is certainly nostalgia and people who love to collect stuff and all kinds of reasons to like stuff like that. I'm just curious if it's something that is for people who aren't, like, really into collecting and stuff like that.
I mean, I'm going into it as a game that I can play with my girlfriend and create stuff with and play with characters that we like. So as far as that goes so far, it's great.
To be clear, John, because you're being very defensive.
Sure.
I'm not attacking you.
No,
I'm asking about the game. I have no problem
I'm telling
with
you about
owning
it.
The game. I mean, we get – it's fine.
I mean, it's different than Heroes of the Storm. I think that's a
– And it's different from World of Warcraft, like, or the Star Wars prequels.
I think that – so let me throw this out there. Like, I've started playing Hearthstone. I don't know anything about Warcraft, but I can play that game because it's like a – well done card game, right?
Right.
It's
the draw to Hearthstone, though, has nothing to do with the brand. I mean, it's...
But I think it does for some people.
If it was another game, if it was some other property, like, gameplay-wise,
I mean,
yes,
why,
it's good, but...
Then why didn't the Magic digital card games take off like Hearthstone did? Because they have an even better, like, recognizable brand for a trading card game than...
Because it's probably poorly done.
Warcraft. I mean, that's kind of my point, though, is that's exactly what I'm getting at,
right.
is the base gameplay really good?
Yeah, and I mean,
as far as I've played so far, yeah, it's serviceable for what it is. It's a family game. Like, you're going to sit down with a 5-year-old, and you're going to sit down with a 30-year-old dad.
Okay, well, this is the first time you've said any of that,
yeah.
So that's what I'm asking. That's why I was saying for an adult.
I mean, that's
kind of
like Mario Kart. Mario Kart's going to leverage Nintendo characters
kind
and
of,
put them in a racing game.
It is
or
what you
Mario
make it.
Mario Tennis or something like that.
I just want to make sure that it's let's put it this way. I want to make sure it's Mario Kart, not Mario Party. Does that make sense?
They do have a kart racer in there. It's actually from the team that made the Sonic kart racer.
Oh,
which is weird. I like the Sonic kart racer, by the way.
All-Star
All-Star Racing?
Interesting.
Yeah. And the combat's done by Ninja Theory.
That's
so,
cool actually.
Yeah. It's like all right, just to boil it down, I haven't played enough to bring to you the stuff that you want me to bring to you.
Got it.
Yep.
Hey, you guys, I got a quick emergency here, so if you guys want to finish up what you've talked about, I will be back in just a second.
Sure.
We're just rolling?
Yeah.
Okay, I played that Star Wars tablet game.
Yeah.
I like the graphics of it, and
so,
I kind of like the idea that... Go ahead.
Oh, well, we discovered this last week, like right after the podcast ended. Continue.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm a big Star Wars fan. I like the idea of bridging the gap between... It's supposed to be... Like episode 6 to the new movies, right? To 7?
Is that the 10? Well, it bridges the gap, yeah. So it kind of explains what happened after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, the Empire fell and all that stuff.
So I guess, what's your... I mean, did you like it? Like, I
played maybe, like, you and Henry 15 minutes. And it kind of... I don't know. Henry was saying that the graphics did not look terribly impressive. I didn't think they looked fantastic, but like for a mobile phone game, like an RPG open world type, not open world, but like, you know, explorable areas and stuff like that. I was kind of hoping for like a mobile version of Knights of the Old Republic, even though that's already on mobile. Just everything was just like point or touch, like touch to attack.
Yeah.
Like you bring your character, you touch the screen to get your character to an area, and then the system just does it all for you. Yeah, it was very uninteractive, I guess.
I think it's better. Did you play it on a phone or a tablet?
Phone, but I mean, the concept either way would be the same.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose on the tablet it's a little bit better because it's easier, I guess, to drag and...
For my mobile experience, it's the vast majority of that is on the phone. Like on a tablet, if I am somewhere where I'm going to be gaming on a tablet, I can easily just play a console, right?
Yeah. But I don't know. I didn't think it was terrible. I'm kind of wondering. First of all, I don't really know how to save it, and so I've been like invested more time in it because I think you have to
restart every time you play.
So if you close the app, it doesn't save at all?
I think you have to go through a Kablam, like they have this Kablam site or something like that. You have to create an account.
That's weird.
Yeah,
I think it would save locally somehow.
Yeah, and that's the one part. I mean, because I don't want to invest time in something I don't know.
Sure.
But the part of me kind of wonders, I think it's good enough to content surf through it, and I kind of feel like it's worth content surfing through something that's... If anything, it's something to bring into the movie. Like, I know I'm going to see the movie. You know what I mean? Unless it's absolutely terrible, like, going back to this.
I just got this vibe that it was contrived, and it's like, oh, hey, everybody come play our game with microtransactions, so you are ready for the movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you guys interested in Star Wars lore?
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's a book that just came out that's bridging the gap as well. So
okay.
I would probably look
probably
into
better.
That. I think it's called Aftermath.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
So... I don't know if it's good or not, but that might be a better way to
Yeah.
To get your Star Wars lore.
Because Star Wars games have been mixed. Like, I really like the...
Yeah, for sure.
Like, Jedi Outcast, I thought was really good in Jedi Academy, but some of those other ones were
just... You play Force Unleashed?
No.
Okay.
And I heard that one's good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
It has some really cool stuff in there, but it's pretty...
The first one much more so than
it.
The second one.
Sure.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't know. I do like Hearthstone. I don't know if I'm going to invest money in it, but I think...
You should invest money in it. I
will not say who this is, but I know someone who dropped $150. I'll tell you once we're off the air. Yeah. I was like, wow. But he does have the money to spend on it. But I think
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, who could you be talking about?
Yeah, I know. We'll leave it ambiguous.
So, I mean, if you really like a game, drop money on it. I mean, support it somehow instead of...
It's nice that you can earn so much free, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's also nice, like, you know, the content expansions. And I know Henry will be the first to point out, like, you bought the pre-order for the new card expansion and got basically nothing for it.
Oh, you didn't get any packs for it?
No, I got the 50 packs, but I got...
50? That's a ton of packs. How much was the pre-order?
$50. So a buck per pack. So you got a $10 discount, basically, or 10 free, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Look at it. But I got, like... two, technically three legendaries because I like had a lot of leftover dust to get the one I wanted. So, but then this other card opening, it was on YouTube. This guy got six of the same legendaries in a row, and it was all the same crappy legendary.
Didn't he have like 16 by the time he was done opening?
I thought it was just six total, but maybe more.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's ridiculous how, and that's part of the gambling pleasure of it. But like, you know. You might get nothing. The next guy might get a ton of good stuff.
No, and to your point about kind of supporting them, I mean, it's the Kickstarter thing. It seems like a gamble, and I kind of thought this through when I was like, you know, playing that old New Vegas. I think I bought the game for maybe like under $3.
Yeah,
you know, but I was like, do I really want this DLC if for a game that's from 2011? It's kind of clunky. The DLC works fine, but it's the actual base game is very
that game
glitchy.
Is notoriously jank.
Yeah, so. I almost didn't play it, and I'm glad I did because I think it is, as much as it's not as an exciting environment or whatever, I think it's a good thing to play before 4. But I was like, you know what, at the end of the day, Bethesda makes pretty good games. It's kind of like with Rockstar. I bought the 360 version of Grand Theft Auto, and then I bought the next one because I knew I wasn't going to get nickel and dimed with DLC. Like, you know, and even with Destiny, like, I think if this game is the Taken King, I'm saying, is what I wanted Destiny to be, I'd be more willing to spend money on it just because I have friends who play it. It is like a very, it's obviously a almost on a Halo level of kind of name recognition or it's trying to get there. And, you know, it's not like that's nickel and dime either. It's not like there's a screen that pops up and you have to spend $5 to get
You don't have to get like a coin doubler for anything.
Yeah.
So, I should reiterate, just like throwing money towards a developer is a good thing if they're not nickel and diming you for things. Like, if you want to support them, support them.
I mean, but, Destiny seems like a better, now, to be fair, like Call of Duty, I've kind of dropped off the map with that one, but it seems like a better value. Like, you know, if you're spending $60 every year, now I'm trying to think, I guess Destiny would be $80 total if you got both DLCs and the Taken King. But I mean, at least it seems on par with what Call of Duty would be, where... Yeah. You know, and hopefully they give you enough content or whatever to justify that. But I am interested in that one. I guess I'm kind of waiting on reviews, and it is. I mean, there's so many games coming out. Gonna have to make decisions.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. That's why like most of October for me is clean slate. Like, don't really need anything in October besides maybe WWE 16.
Yeah,
I'm weird like that. I'm not complaining the sports game.
Now that Henry is back, I just want to say the additional game I've been playing, Angry Birds Star Wars 2.
You guys are just trying to make me mad today.
No, we just trolled you. We totally could have talked about that before.
Yeah, we could have. We were talking about microtransactions, mobile games, and that never came up. So
impressive.
You're welcome. I don't know why, but I downloaded it, and I've been playing a heck of a lot of it. But I haven't put any real money towards it, so.
That's something, at least. I mean, honestly, if you like Angry Birds, that's cool. I don't like games that gate the amount you can play at a time. That's my big beef with it, actually. I didn't have a big problem with the first Angry Birds outside of the fact that they wholesale ripped Crush the Castle and didn't pay any money to the actual inventors of the concept. But, you know, what are you going to do? That's internet. Yeah, that's pretty exciting, though. I've played a little bit of it. My brother's really into it. He's always challenging me on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Have they made, like, did they make any really, really big changes?
No, not really.
There's blasters.
Oh.
You can use the Force.
See, I wasn't sure if it was more
there's
like...
There's boss fights. I do enjoy the boss fights.
I know. Yeah. I tried the Angry Birds Transformers, and it's not an Angry Birds game.
It isn't?
Well, it's like a running gun thing. Like, weird. It's not a catapult launcher.
Did you play... I'm pretty sure this came up before. Have you played Bad Piggies?
Yes. Oh, yes. The one where they switch roles.
Yeah, the one where you're building vehicles, and it's basically... Banjo-Kazooie nuts and bolts.
Yeah, that's pretty cute.
That's good. That's a good one.
All right. Well, we're running really long today, so I'm going to make my what I've played this week really quick for you guys, and then we're going to wrap things up here. For mobile, I played Star Wars Uprising. If you guys, I don't know if you guys talked
about
it.
We did.
Okay,
we
said, garbage. Don't play it.
Try reading the book instead if you want to bridge the continuity.
Yes. Yep. Also, I've been playing Puzzle Quest 2. I love this game. It's really good. It's not super microtransactions-y, even though they're in it. If you like kind of city management / match 3 sort of elements, then I would recommend it.
There's a lot of good Puzzle Quest games out now. So there's two. There's Marvel Puzzle Quest, which I know a lot of my friends are really into.
Mm-hmm.
There's Adventure Time Puzzle Quest that my girlfriend's really into. So it's all from the same company. They're all doing really well with it. So
that's fantastic. And then I did get both Mad Max and Metal Gear Solid 5 really quick.
This seems like a really bad time to do really quick for these games.
It's going to be really quick, and we're going to talk more next week. Okay. But really quick, I'm very thoroughly enjoying both. Probably having a little bit more fun with Mad Max. Definitely would say Metal Gear Solid 5 is a contender for Game of the Year.
Is it because Mad Max is more like blockbuster action movie sort of thing?
No.
Like more minute to minute?
No. It's because it has better characters.
Okay.
And it's also because I like feeling accomplishment constantly. As much as there are lots of upgrades in Metal Gear Solid 5.
You don't get it all the time.
And I don't like having to wait on timers that don't even pass when you're not playing the game. And I have a lot of very tiny problems with the masterpiece that is Metal Gear Solid 5. It is undoubtedly a better game, but at the moment I'm having more fun with Mad Max.
Cool. I'm going to have to play that more this week.
Yes, and we can talk more in depth next week. However, for now, this is running very, very long, so let's wrap things up. So thanks so much for joining us this week, you guys. This has been the Video Game Podcast from Cold Omaha. We hope you've enjoyed listening to the show. Please be sure to check us out on Audio Boom and iTunes and leave us a rating or review. Thank you, and as always, game on.